5, 4, 3, 2.
Բարի երեկո, սիրելի հայրենակիցներ եւ ռադիո ունկնդիրներ, Ամերիկայի հայկական համագումարի շաբաթական ռադիոժամին։ Խոսափողի մոտն է Միհրան Թումաջյան, Ամերիկայի հայկական համագումարի արևմտյան շրջանի տնօրեն։ Այսօր բացառիկ հյուր ունենք մեզ հետ՝ Beth Broussalian, որ հիանալի աշխատանք է տանում HDIF USA կազմակերպության իբրև գործադիր տնօրեն, եւ հիանալի աշխատանք ընդհանրապես Սան Դիեգոյի հայ համայնքիցներս։ Հակիրճ պիտի այժմ Բեթի կենսագրությունը կարդամ եւ ապա կանցնենք մեր հարցազրույցին Բեթ Բրուսալյանի հետ։ I am pleased to have on our show today, and the Armenian Assembly is very pleased to have Beth Broussalian as our honored guest. Beth is an amazing human being and is doing really impactful work on the ground in Armenia and tying Armenia to the United States. A bit about Beth and her background. Inspired by Timothy Strait and the HDIF organization's mission, and HDIF stands for the Homeland, I believe, and Beth can correct me here, the Homeland Development Initiative Foundation, inspired by HDIF's mission to promote economic development in Armenia. In 2017, Beth Broussalian founded the U.S. branch of HDIF, known as HDIF USA. It's a nonprofit organization registered in the state of California. Since 2017, Beth has served as executive director of HDIF USA. The organization's mission is to promote job creation for women and persons with disabilities in Armenia through handicraft enterprises. Beth was born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area. She received a bachelor's degree in German language and literature and a master's in Armenian art history from UCLA, where she also began studying the Armenian language. In 1984, Beth participated in the Armenian Assembly of America's summer internship program in Washington, D.C., and we're delighted that she's an alumna of our pioneering program, which has been going strong for 43 years now. Beth has always been actively engaged in the Armenian-American community. She spent many years working in public and media relations for different organizations. For 11 years, she was the grant writer for Junior Achievement of Armenia. And Junior Achievement, for many of you who might be aware, does tremendously important work, especially with Armenian youth. Through Beth's grant writing, she was able to bring over $6 million in funding to Junior Achievement of Armenia, which is really remarkable. After participating in her first home build with the Fuller Center for Housing in Armenia in 2010, Beth became increasingly interested in devoting her experience and expertise to projects in Armenia. A resident of San Diego, Beth is married to Jim Broussalian, and together they have two adult children. Beth is also, very proudly, I'm sure, a dual citizen of the United States and of Armenia. Beth Broussalian, a warm welcome to the Armenian Assembly of America Weekly Radio Hour. We're delighted to have you.
Thank you. I'm absolutely honored to have this opportunity.
So, Beth, your bio covered quite a bit of your background, but I think our listeners would be interested in knowing a bit more about your upbringing in the San Francisco Bay Area, in a very active Armenian family, right? The Rustigian family, if I'm not mistaken, and mm-hmm. also what the second part of the question is, what motivated you to transition from a focus on German language and literature as an undergrad to more of an Armenian leaning, master's graduate level interest at UCLA. Please, the floor is yours.
Well, that's a really great question about what inspired me to study German to start with, and kind of how it segued into Armenian art history. And that all goes back to my upbringing. So we'll start there. When I was growing up in San Francisco, my dad was born in Sacramento and moved to San Francisco at the age of 9. So we considered him a true San Franciscan. And he was, went to school, all through school in San Francisco, and then he went to Cal. My mom was born in Chicago and moved to Oakland at the age of 9 and went through, all of her schooling in the Bay Area as well. So I'm second generation, really, Bay Area raised. Throughout my life, we heard the stories about the genocide. My father's mother was not shy about sharing her experiences during the Hamidian massacres in Marash. And my father's father came here from Harpert and went to the Central Valley and to Fresno, but I don't know that he ever was in any kind of danger. But he also came during the Hamidian massacres. And then my mother's side, they came, during the genocide after 1915. My mother's side too, there were always stories about what happened to them. And they
hailed from where in the old country?
My mother's mother came from Chungush. Mother's father came from Istanbul. There's lots of stories behind that, but I will just say that my grandmother and her mother were the only survivors of their entire families. And my great grandmother lost, I believe, 5 children in the genocide. They marched through the desert and finally made it to Aleppo. And that's a whole nother story that I won't go into.
So you grew up in the Bay Area and both your parents immersed in Armenian culture. And you had grandparents around you too, I take it, correct? As you were growing up.
Yeah, I had my father's mother and both of my mother's parents were around us. And they were both very, very active in the churches, in the church communities. They really felt that the church communities were the nucleus of Armenian life in San Francisco and in Oakland. And, when the church at St. John's was being built in San Francisco, my dad was on the parish council and played an active role in the construction of the church. And my mother's parents were generous benefactors of St. Barton's when it was being built. And interestingly enough, my grandmother was an active member of the building committee, as I am now in our community here in San Diego. So,
And we'll talk about that perhaps in the second half of the church, just briefly on the San Diego, the major project, the church project and campus project.
But I'm glad you
brought that up. Yeah. So very, very much involved your entire family for spanning generations in the community. And so you graduate from high school and you head to college, and German language and literature is what's on your mind. What motivated you to go into that?
Right. So I want to go back to my father's mother in Marash. My father's mother and her sister were given to a German missionary organization in Marash. Their mother fled with their baby brother to Aleppo. So my grandmother and her sister were young girls, and they were brought into the German missionary organization, and they were raised in a German orphanage. and their entire education, their entire formative years was done in the German language. Cooking, even down to cooking and all of their entire education was done in the German language. And they, you know, really learned a lot about Western European culture as well, something that was very foreign to them. But they learned a lot about Western European culture and really cling to that. So when the time came for them to leave the orphanage, their mother actually was able to, they were able to be in contact with their mother in Aleppo, and she asked them to join her and the brother, and they said no. They wanted to go west. And so my grandmother was, the girls were brilliant, my grandmother and her sister. They were absolutely brilliant. They knew.
And again, this is happening for our listeners after the Hamidian massacres of
Correct.
The mid-1890s, which took a huge toll on the Armenian population at the time, upwards of 300,000. Many scholars, many credible scholars, state that upwards of 300,000 Armenians were killed during those massacres in the mid-1890s. So this is happening in that era. They reach a certain age, as you mentioned, and they have to leave the orphanage. And they set their sights on the West. Please continue.
So my grandmother was, if you will, a mail order bride, which was not uncommon, within the Armenian community that was settling in America. There were a lot of men who had been in America, working in America and sending money back to their families. And there were a lot of opportunities during the Industrial Revolution in America for men, from foreign countries to come to the U.S. to work. And then after the Hamidian massacres occurred, there were Armenian men in America who were marrying brides who were orphans. That was quite common. So my grandmother was a mail order bride and ended up in Fresno, which was, I don't know if you really call it the West. I mean, it was the West.
She arrived in Fresno in the Central Valley around what year, Beth? What year did she did your grandfather end up?
I don't remember, but it must have been like, I don't really remember, but
early 1900s. 1910s. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And Fresno was very primitive at the time, and they had grown up in what was a high class German education, and had learned very European customs and traditions. So it was a bit jarring for her and her sister. To come to California and then be living in the vineyards and in dust. And it just wasn't what they had initially envisioned. But, be it as it may, my grandmother and her sister educated their own children in German customs and language and traditions.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So your dad grew up learning German as a kid. Okay. Wow.
They all did. So my grandmother had four children and her sister had two children. Now, so then we also were exposed to the German language as her grandchildren. Now, one of her grandchildren from the sister's side, he actually became a very successful corporate litigator, and he actually did tried trials in Switzerland in German.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's how proficient he became. His mother was a Fulbright scholar in Germany and raised the two kids there while she was doing her work there. So there's a lot of German going on in our family, and when it came time, actually, in junior high to pick a language, we all picked German as our language because that was what was available. It was available to us growing up in Lafayette. And then I love languages, so I just continued with it in college.
Excellent. Wow. What a truly amazing story. And I'm sure your grandmother and great aunt were delighted that you went into that field as an undergrad.
Actually, they were very, very old. The great aunt had passed away many, many years before. Very tragic situation. And my grandmother had Alzheimer's. And so by the time I got to my college years, she passed away actually in my first year of college.
Oh, man. Well, you carried on their tradition and the family tradition in many ways. What saved your grandmother and great aunt from a terrible ordeal, the German missionary and mission at the time of the Hamidian massacre. So there's so much to be grateful for in that story.
There is.
But you transitioned, and we have about 4 minutes left here in the first half of our discussion. You transitioned from undergrad to master's and from German language and literature to Armenian history and Armenian art history. What inspired that specific transition?
So as a German language major, I did my junior year studying abroad in Munich and primarily in Salzburg in Austria. And I had an opportunity to travel to dozens of different countries. And I was really, really captivated by the museums. And we had one of the girls that was with us had taken several art history courses at Bowdoin in Maine. And she was in our program. And she just gave us these amazing tours of the museums that we visited around Europe. And imparted her knowledge that she had learned in her art history classes, and I was just enthralled. That I knew at that point that if I was going to go into a master's program, I wanted to go into art history. Interestingly enough, when I researched the requirements for art history, two of the main requirements was to have two languages, to be advanced in two languages as a prerequisite. So I had German under my belt for sure, but I also had taken many advanced courses in French. So, and I had taken many courses in 2 years of Armenian. So I had three advanced language proficiencies going into the art history master's program, and that really, you know, gave me a great advantage.
And at the time at UCLA, and please correct me if I'm wrong, in the Armenian realm, educational realm, I trust that Avedis Sanjian was teaching Armenian language and literature at UCLA. Is that fair to say? And Professor Hovhannisyan, Richard, was teaching Armenian history at UCLA. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. One of the reasons why I picked UCLA was because of their robust language program. They had many, many different languages all the way from, you know, down to Swahili. And I was just very impressed. And my language instructor teacher, who was absolutely brilliant in high school, I went to him and I said, I'm applying to college. And I'm interested in studying languages. What university do you recommend? And he immediately recommended UCLA. So it was a match made in heaven because I knew that UCLA also had this very strong Armenian language and history program. It worked out, yeah. I took beginning Armenian with a great group of kids. Hold on 1 second. I took a Armenian language program with a great group of kids, and the teacher was, you know, this woman who taught Western Armenian, and she was absolutely lovely. we took Armenian with her for a year. And then the second year of Armenian, I took with Apo Bohigyan, who many people know. So he was my Armenian language teacher in like 1982.
He's currently the editor of CivilNet in Armenia.
Currently the editor of CivilNet, exactly. And so, you know, that's kind of how my Armenian language introduction to Armenian language started, because we didn't learn Armenian at home. And then Avedi Sanjan was my graduate advisor, and he was the one who signed off on my thesis for my MA.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. We will continue, Beth, in the second half of our show, and focus certainly on the wonderful work you're doing with the Homeland Development Initiative Foundation, HDIF USA. Manatsek mez het sireri hayre nakitsner kvera darnak shat shutov. And that's a wrap.
Okay.